You're listening to Friggin' Fabulous Radio.
All right, Friggin' Fabulous Radio. This is Nick, and I'm here with my good friend Jessica.
Hello.
And we're doing the top 25 best bass lines of all time. And we're getting down to the wire here. We're getting pretty close. And I have to say, this next song, this bass player is one of my favorite bass players, one of the best, and many, many, many bands actually consider him an inspiration. But most people have no idea who he is.
That's true.
Which is sad. But in any case...
And I would venture to guess that he's probably in your top three.
Absolutely. And we're talking about Mike Watt from the band Firehose. This is called Down with the Bass. And this, interestingly, we were talking about some songs, the bass is in the forefront. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's in the background. Right. This song was actually written about the bass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, the bass line is by design the main thing in the song, the thing that stands out.
Well, when you suggested this one to me, I didn't know. I mean, I've certainly heard of Mike Watt. I've certainly heard of Firehose, but I wasn't that familiar with their music. And I remember you sent me a copy of this song, and I was like, wow, this kicks. This song to me is not only where you have the flash of the bass, but it's also the spine of the song.
Right.
And it's a little, and I would venture to guess, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, too.
Absolutely.
And that has a good sense of humor about it. And here's something interesting, because I wasn't really that familiar with Firehose, and this is something I found on good old Wikipedia, so it may or may not be true. The name of the band, Firehose, was taken from a line in a Bob Dylan song. Did you know this, by the way?
I did know actually.
Oh, okay.
So I can confirm that.
Okay, good. So this is actually true. From the song Subterranean Homesick Blues by Dylan.
Right.
Great song. And the line is, better stay away from those that carry a fire hose.
Right. And that's, it's classic.
Well, now, does Mike Watt do solo stuff now? I mean,
yes.
What is he doing now?
He has, he's had a few bands since Firehose. Originally, he was in a band called the Minutemen.
Right.
And with D. Boone, they were basically a genius band that bands like Sonic Youth, The Talking Heads, all love and like listen to and were blown away by and inspired them. The Minutemen were kind of a angry jazz punk band. They were doing punk. They were part of the California punk scene.
Okay.
Bands like Black Flag and Husker Du and all those great bands from the West Coast and that whole scene. But they were unique in that, talk about time signature changes. These guys were doing like the kind of jazz that like Miles Davis and, you know, like John McLaughlin, like this really intense stuff, but as short, catchy punk tunes. So
sort of like Ramones jazz?
On a much higher level.
Well, I was thinking Ramones just because
the Ramones were three chords.
But they were short and it was just in your face right there.
And I think that
there is an accessibility.
It's safe to say that they influenced each other because the Minutemen and the Ramones, believe it or not, kind of came out around the same time. The Minutemen were a little younger, but they were messing around with that kind of stuff independently of the Ramones. But it's interesting, yeah. So anyway, but Mike Watt, great bass player, still tours like in an old crappy van to this day.
Love it. Love it.
Yes. Mike Watt, one of my favorite bass players. This is Down with the Bass by Firehose.
Down, down, down with the bass, and down.
This is Friggin' Fabulous Radio. I'm Jessica. I'm sitting in with my great pal, Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Jess.
And we're doing the top 25 greatest bass lines of all time, as voted by you. Thank you very much. Now, you just heard number 6, which is Down with the Bass by Firehose. Let's flip to number 5. Yes, top 5.
Woo-hoo! Yay.
This one, I have to say, is one of my personal favorite songs of all time, without question.
I concur.
When I need to get up and move, I put this one on. There's something about it that's elemental and funky and sincere and fabulous, and it is I Wish by Stevie Wonder.
Absolutely.
Amazing. It's from Songs in the Key of Life from 1976. It was part of probably one of Stevie Wonder's most prolific periods. From 72 to 76, he put out a whole series of albums, one of which, Songs in the Key of Life, which if you don't have, you should.
Yeah, that's a must-own album.
Yes, shame on you if you don't. And the period is Talking Book, Inner Visions, Fulfillingness's First Finale in Songs. That period from 72 to 76, he was just jamming. And then after 76, he didn't record anything and put out anything for 3 years. No doubt because he was tired.
Oh, yeah, probably. I would say a little bit. And actually, this is on my list when we made our original top 10. Mm-hmm. This is my number one.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good. There's something. I guess the fact that he's very honestly. Now, whether it's autobiographical or not, I choose to believe that it is. That the fact that he's talking about his childhood and how he wishes things were either different or could go back to the way they were, or that yearning.
Right.
I think it's appealing whether you're, you know, a young black child in his case or not.
I think it's written for not just his own personal childhood, but everybody can relate to this song, to the lyrics.
Regardless, it has a great bass line. It has great style and great soul. This
Indeed.
Is number 5, I Wish, by Stevie Wonder.
Come back for smoke, why did those days
All right. Friggin' Fabulous Radio. We're back. That was I Wish by Stevie Wonder off Songs in the Key of Life from 1976. And now we're going to move back just a few years to 1969. And pretty much everybody knows this song, I would think, and this band, of course, Led Zeppelin. We're talking about Dazed and Confused. This is one of their most memorable bass lines. Of course, they have a few. Cashmere is another one that I like a lot. Mm-hmm. I think this song was different than a lot of the other stuff. There was wholesale blues, some of which they ripped off. But this one kind of has its own feel off Led Zeppelin 1. Most of the other songs are very bluesy and in your face.
All right, what made this one different?
I think what made this one different is, number one, it's a long song, but it's also very...
Well, all Zeppelin songs are long.
No, that's not true.
Most of them, anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, but on Led Zeppelin 1, they did a lot of blues covers. Mm-hmm. This was not a cover, but it was more psychedelic than the rest of the album. It was kind of sit back and smoke a joint and, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Of course, John Paul Jones was the bassist.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's... Now, in the research that I did on this song, also from Wikipedia, so you never know if it's right or wrong, Dazed and Confused was actually credited to a writer named Jake Holmes, who was actually a folk singer. And it's from his debut solo album, The Above Ground Sound, in 1967, 2 years before Zeppelin's version appeared. Now, for reasons unknown, according to Wiki, Jimmy Page claims sole credit for the song when it was released, and Holmes never received any royalty payments for the recording. Holmes decided not to file suit on the song, but he did send the band a letter, and he said, "I understand it's a collaborative effort, but I think you should give me some credit at least and some remunity." And apparently his letter was ignored, never replied to, and he did not follow up on it.
That doesn't surprise me because most of the songs on their first three albums were actually stolen. You know that song, Since I've Been Loving You?
Mm-hmm.
They also claimed to write that. That was actually written in like 1912.
Okay, now I'm disillusioned about Zepp.
Well, I don't mean to disillusion you, but but I have a friend who... made it his kind of thesis work to actually study stolen songs in rock and roll. And I think there were 12 or 13 Led Zeppelin songs over their career that were outright stolen from black blues artists that recorded a very small pressing of the song. Evidently, Jimmy Page was a blues aficionado. He loved really rare blues stuff. And I hate to tell you, kids, but he ripped off a lot of that stuff. And took credit for it.
Oh, and I really like Robert Plant.
So do I.
I do like Zeppelin. Robert Plant still gives a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him he opened for The Who, if you can believe it, a few years ago.
And I believe it.
He still absolutely kicks ass. So just want to say, go Zepp. So that was number four, or you're going to hear number four, Dazed and Confused, Led Zeppelin.
So long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love. Telling
Friggin' Fabulous Radio, because yes, it is Friggin' Fabulous Radio. I'm Jessica. I'm sitting with my friend Nick, and we're doing the 25 best bass lines ever. That was number 4, Dazed and Confused, Led Zeppelin. Now on to number 3. And, you know, this one's interesting. This song really brought up the whole issue of, is it the writer of the song or is it the player of the song?
It really did.
And this one is number 3, Walk on the Wild Side, Lou Reed. He, of course, wrote it. The bassist on it is a gent named Herbie Flowers. And apparently Herbie Flowers was a fairly well-known session guy.
True.
He also played with Bowie, who ironically produced the album from which this song came, and it's Transformer from 1972. Herbie Flowers was also in a mid-70s lineup of T-Rex. He also played, here yet more 6 degrees of David Bowie, he also played bass on Space Oddity.
That's right.
And now he actually plays jazz, and he is a teacher. Wow. How cool is that? I mean, how cool would you like to take bass lessons from him?
Yeah, exactly.
He's definitely got
some cred there. Definitely. And, well, you talk about David Bowie producing that album, Transformer. Interestingly, all those guys kind of hung out together back then, especially in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Lou Reed and David Bowie and Andy Warhol hung out a lot together. They were all, like, good friends. And T-Rex and Mott the Hoople. Remember Mott the Hoople?
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm.
All those guys kind of like hung out together.
Well, then there was the Detroit contingent, which is, you know, Iggy and MC5.
Yep,
and and then that created throughout the 70s, they had, you know, when they all converged on New York, and there was Television and Richard Hell and all those guys. There's a great book, which I highly recommend. I have it on my bookshelf. It's fabulous. It's called Please Kill Me. And it's about the punk years in the 70s. And it talks about the convergence of all of those people. And there's, you know, bits on Lou Reed, and there's bits on, you know, Fred Smith and Patti Smith and all of those guys. And Jim Carroll, if you remember the Jim Carroll band in the 80s. So it definitely a good read, but they were all, I mean, it was sort of the punk version of the round table.
Right.
At the Algonquin.
Yep.
And the, you know, everybody was picking everybody else's brain and being inspired or being enraged, as the case may be, by someone else in the group.
Right. Great stuff. I mean, that whole scene was amazing, and some of the best music ever came out of all that.
Really basic stuff. Although, you know, as a vocalist, you got to sort of wonder about Lou Reed, but then again, you know, he certainly has style.
Right. And attitude.
Yes, he does.
We were just listening at work the other day, actually, believe it or not.
Don't tell anyone.
I won't mention who had it on. It wasn't me, but someone was listening to internet radio at their desk, and I heard it from my workstation, and it was actually the live version off Rock and Roll Animal, Lou Reed's Sweet Jane.
Ooh.
With the intro, which is, you know, that's a very, very basic short song, actually, the studio version.
Right.
The live version is, and if you ever get to see the film Rock and Roll Animal, it's amazing because the band goes into this like epic intro, you know, with like 75 key changes, time signature changes.
That's where Sting got it from.
Probably. Just all this amazing stuff with, you know, with this amazing band. And then, of course, they break into Sweet Jane, and Lou Reed comes out, you know, looking like he just got into a fist fight on stage. And it's just an awesome, it's epic.
Now, that I would like to see.
I would definitely like to see.
So let's check it out, shall we? This is number 3, Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. Thank you.
hitchhiked her way across the USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was given head. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doo 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 doo. Gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey, sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was Jim Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fashion. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot, 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 doot.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. All right, we're getting down to it. We have two left. Number three was Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. Number two is a Yes tune, Roundabout. And Jess is rolling her eyes because I know she does not like this song.
I hate this band. I just have to say it out straight. I hate this band. This band makes me want to put nails in my eyes.
Yeah, well, this is, I think, one of those bands, either you love them or you hate them. And they're kind of like a musician geek band. Most musicians
Explain to me why. This I want to know.
Most guitarists, well, most musicians in general like Yes, or at least respect them, because musically what they did, as a guitarist, when you listen to some of Steve Howe's work, you're like, holy shit, like, how did he pull that off?
Right.
Yes, it is very busy and orchestral and all that at times, but like King Crimson, a lot of people don't like King Crimson, but it's a musician's band. It's music for musicians.
And I have to say, just since you mentioned King Crimson is one of our honorable mentions, because a lot of people who wrote in, this is just a side note, mind you, a lot of people that wrote in nominated a lot of different songs for King Crimson. And because the voting was so spread, the band didn't actually make our top 25, but we want to give a shout out to King Crimson just to say that the band itself scored.
For sure. Amazing band. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I do like Yes, but this isn't my favorite song at all by any stretch, or this album. Most people say this is their best album. I would have to go with one of their later albums, like Drama, which John Anderson wasn't even on.
Hmm.
It was Trevor Horn from The Buggles. Remember that song, Video Killed the Radio Star?
I love that song still.
He actually was on a Yes album, believe it or not.
Get out.
Yes.
It doesn't make me like them that much.
You would
more.
Probably like... I'm going to make a copy. You would like that album. It's
right.
Not like traditional Yes.
All right. Because I trust you and you and I have been friends a long time, mm-hmm. All right, I'll give it a spin.
And, so anyway, this is Roundabout by Yes.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. We're now down to the final one. But, before we get to number one on the top 25 bass lines ever, we gotta do a recap and just, we'll go 25 to 2.
Right, since it was about 17 hours ago that we started this.
Exactly. So, to refresh your memory, at number 25, Crossroads by Cream.
Number 24, Love Song by The Damned.
23, Natural One by Folk Implosion.
Number 22, Pawn Shop by Sublime.
Number 21, Family Affair by Sly and the Family Stone.
20, You Can't Get What You Want Till You Know What You Want by Joe Jackson.
Number 19, Jerry Was a Race Car Driver by Primus.
Number 18, Money by Pink Floyd.
Number 17, Yeah Baby, Theme from Barney Miller by Jack Elliott.
Number 16, A Love Supreme by John Coltrane.
Number 15, Rio by Duran Duran.
Number 14, Under Pressure by Queen with David Bowie.
Number 13, Love is the Drug by Roxy Music.
Number 12, Whipping Post by the Allman Brothers Band.
Number 11, London Calling by The Clash.
Number 10, The Bed's Too Big Without You by The Police.
Number 9, Live With Me by the Rolling Stones.
Number 8, Higher Ground by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, written by Stevie Wonder.
Number 7, Day Tripper by the Beatles.
Number 6, Down With the Bass by Firehose.
Number 5, I Wish by Stevie Wonder.
Number 4, Dazed and Confused by Led Zeppelin.
Number 3, Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed.
Number 2, Roundabout by Yes.
And that one we just heard.
We just heard that one.
Okay. So now it's down to number one. Should we do a drum roll?
There you go. The number one best bass line of all time, The Real Me by The Who.
Yes. Yes.
And I
don't... Without question.
Some people are going to argue with this, of course, but I would say it deserves to be. Definitely, if not number one, definitely in the top five.
Well, you know, and in fact, when this one came up as number one, I went back and listened to it because I'm a huge Who fan.
Me too.
And love The Who. Lyrically, sonically, fabulous. I went back and listened to it again because I thought, maybe I'm missing something here. I was blown out.
Oh, yeah.
John Entwistle, what an amazing craftsman. And, I mean, just there, just doing his thing. But he was definitely part of the whole, even though he was doing his thing. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. For sure. And I think overall underrated as a bass player. Because a lot
really?
Of times, yeah.
Why?
Well, what I mean is traditionally when you see these lists in, like, Musician Magazine or, you know, Guitar Player Magazine.
Right.
A lot of the lists, he's on the list, but he's not, you know, if they do the top 100, he might be, you know, number 70. Like, I'm always amazed that he's not in the top 15 or 20, mm-hmm. to be honest. Although, a lot of these lists have, like, Jaco Pastorius, who's, an amazing jazz or was an amazing jazz
right,
bass
right.
player.
And there were also several votes for him, by the way. There's
yes.
some very good taste out there.
One of the best bass players. But I think John Entwistle... Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend pretty much overshadow the rest of the band in a lot of ways because, of course, Daltrey is such a strong vocalist. You always think of him.
Oh, he's
first.
One of the best rock vocalists of all time.
But in a way, it kind of takes away the average listener, say, that doesn't listen that hard to The Who might miss a lot of the nuances that John Entwistle brought to the songs.
Well, you know, this particular song, which is, of course, from Quadrophenia, 1973.
My favorite album.
Awesome. One of the things that amazed me about this is this song would not have the power or would not exist without that bass line.
Any other bass line, this song would be horrible, I think. I agree.
And it really shows what that guy, and the late John Entwistle, who died in 2002, what he really brings to the table. I mean, it's subtle, but it's so, so powerful. The film Quadrophenia was his first movie.
Right.
Just as, you know, sure we all know. And here's another little interesting thing. They interviewed in Goldmine magazine, they interviewed Entwistle in 1996. And he said that the bass part was recorded on the first take. He claimed he was joking around when he played the part, but the band loved it, thought it was fantastic, and used it in the final version. Imagine just going in there and doing some noodling and just slamming stuff and then have it in one take.
That is amazing. And some of the best stuff happened that way, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
over history, but amazing.
Very amazing. This is number one, The Real Me by The Who.
Can you see The Real Me? Can you? Can you?